G'day, Clint Jasper, welcoming you to Country Breakfast here on RN. Almost a third of the world's wheat exports hit the market via the Black Sea region. So as the world watches a standoff between Ukraine and Russia over the connecting Azov Sea, so too are the world's grain traders.
If we see tensions between Russia and Ukraine continue to increase, that might have a significant effect on grain market, wheat market first of all.
Kicking off, Nikolai Beilharz joins me this morning to run through the big rural news of this week. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
It's been a really massive week in rural news. Fires, floods and political turmoil. Let's start in Queensland with what were really some quite scary fires.
Yeah, and some incredible vision coming out of Queensland as well, and really some pretty unprecedented firefighting conditions which have moved over central Queensland this week. So we've seen hot winds, storms and tinder-dry undergrowth within the Deepwater National Park has led to 20,000 hectares of land being burned already, and quite a few small lot farmers in the area are already reporting damage. So one local farmer, Wayne Cartwright, has found himself anxiously waiting out the fire frenzy after self-evacuating. He grows dragon fruit, or at least he did, but unfortunately lost most of them in the fire 2 days ago when 70-metre-high flames roared through his property, sparing only the house.
Pretty upset afterwards. Been 7 years work put into it and all our money's sunk into it, so just got to fight back, rebuild and start again. Getting too old, but you got to try.
It's really sad. A whistleblower who was working at the Murray-Darling Basin Authority says she's not surprised at the legal action or the guilty plea over water theft that we heard from on Monday.
Yeah, so an interesting shift from fire to water, really. This week, a cotton farmer on the Barwon-Darling River, whose name is Anthony Barlow, has pleaded guilty to all three offences alleged against him by Water New South Wales. So that was one offence of pumping during an embargo, and then two offences of pumping while metering equipment wasn't operating. Now, Anthony Barlow was named in an ABC Four Corners investigation last year, which prompted these legal proceedings against him and his parents. Now, the proceedings against his parents have been dropped. And as you mentioned, a former employee of the MDBA, her name is Marianne Slattery, says that staff there knew water was being stolen, that they were forced to adjust water targets in their reports, and that senior management stood in the way of compliance issues. She also says there's been systemic failure in the Murray-Darling Basin plan, and the Barlow case shows that we need a federal ICAC to investigate the matters.
No, government knew about it, and it wasn't just the work that me and my team did. We were hearing these allegations from community members. We were hearing it from other staff members as well. It was well known. It's certainly no surprise.
Huge claims there, and it kind of echoes what we heard from the Department of Agriculture or the Moss Review into the Department of Agriculture about the culture of fear that stops staff talking about live exports. Mm. But moving on to crops, growers of crops like lentils and chickpeas are being told they should not count on India removing huge tariffs anytime soon.
Yeah, and this is probably the exact news you didn't want to hear if you were a Pulse or a Pulse grower. In its latest update, Pulse Australia says the problem child of India remains, and that as an industry, they're now starting to look at some alternative markets like China. So you might have heard or remember this, that India slapped some pretty heavy tariffs on crops in late 2017, and that really dashed hopes that the Australian pulse growers had for a decent paying crop in a year when cereal prices were pretty depressed. Now, that saw an urgent exchange between politicians in both countries and eventually saw the Federal Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, head over to India to lobby for those tariffs to be removed. Now, that didn't work. Now, the CEO of Pulse Australia, Nick Goddard, says with Indian elections just around the corner, any appetite for removing tariffs will be low.
Having said that, we are actually right at the very cusp at the moment of the seasonal change in India, and that will determine what their pulse production will look like for their winter crops, so that's chickpeas and lentils. So even though we wouldn't expect a policy change because of those internal factors like politics, etc., the weather's always a big variable.
Right. Canadian growers are also dealing with an oversupply of lentils, and I was reading on Bloomberg News this week that they're being used in dog food. A leading pet food manufacturer there was saying a mix of the low prices for lentils, which we know are a high protein source, and the increasing trend of pet humanisation means there's a growing market for gluten-free pet foods. CanPulse Foods says Canada is exporting around 40,000 tonnes of yellow peas, red lentils and chickpeas to the US every year for use in foods, but just a few years ago, that number was zero. So, burgeoning market there.
Remarkable. Yeah, my dog will eat almost anything, so I'm sure she'd have some of them.
Now, the stunning footage of a ship rocking violently from side to side with thousands of cattle on board has brought more scrutiny onto the already troubled live export industry.
Yeah, that's right. And some interesting developments here. So, the MV Jawan is the name of the ship. It tried to leave the Port of Portland in Victoria twice over the past week, but both times it was unable to stay upright. Now, the vessel was built in 2003, initially as a container ship, but then it was later converted to carry livestock. The ship's been detained by the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, or AMSA, and ordered to unload those livestock. Now, the Minister for Agriculture would not comment directly on this, instead referred to a statement from AMSA. In it, the authority said the ship would not be released with cattle on board until the stability issues could be explained and resolved. Dr. Lynn Simpson's a vet who's served on 57 live export voyages, and she exposed evidence of animal cruelty back in 2016. She says the danger of livestock ships capsizing is always there.
Having watched that footage, I think that ship would have 100% capsized, would have lost 100% of the cargo and likely, gosh, some if not all of the crew.
Right. It sounds like there's a bit of beef in the dairy industry over whether or not it needs a mandatory code of conduct, and Victorian farmers seem to be the strongest advocates for the no side.
Yeah, the famously fractured dairy industry seems to be continuing that trend with this news. So Victorian dairy farmers have pretty emphatically rejected the idea of a mandatory code of conduct between themselves and milk processors, which a lot of other states have been calling for. Now, this code includes things like banning price step-downs or seasonal reductions in farmgate milk prices, things like notice periods for when contracts are ended between farmers and processors, and also a place where they can have disputes heard, amongst others. So in a marathon three-hour session at Shepparton this week, about 40 people attended the government's consultation on the code. And as I say, the issue pretty quickly dividing the industry, leadership in all other states beside Victoria wanting something enshrined in law to protect farmers from processors. But the Victorian dairy lobby is pretty steadfast in its refusal. Katunga dairy farmer and United Dairy Farmers representative Daryl Hoey is a solid no.
Never been in favour of it. I think that, yes, behaviour that has happened in the past, we have to make sure never happens again. But to have a mandatory code was brought about for the wrong reasons. People got hung up on the word mandatory versus voluntary rather than what was actually in it.
Staying with dairy, in New South Wales, a parliamentary inquiry has been looking at the industry's sustainability into the future.
Yeah, so over the past fortnight, a state parliamentary inquiry has heard from dairy farmers on both the south and the north coasts of New South Wales, and it's been hearing about their concerns over milk pricing and the broader future of the industry. The processors and retailers have had a chance to have their say, with Coles, Woolworths and just one processor, Bega Cheese, giving evidence. Woolworths spokesman Christian Bennett told the inquiry the company was actively supporting dairy farmers during the drought, and the recent ACCC report highlighted the problem in the industry was not at the retail end of the supply chain, but between processors and dairy farmers.
Processors do not have an incentive to reduce farmgate prices as a result of lower wholesale prices they receive for private label milk. Given the contractual pass-through arrangements in farmgate prices to supermarkets, processors set the farmgate prices independently of the supermarket's retail prices. In that sense, it reflects the reality that farmgate milk prices are a function of processor demand for milk and is also heavily influenced by international prices and the subsequent prices of Australia's largest dairy regions.
Now, the macadamia is our native nut, and in the 6 years that I've been rural reporting, I don't think I've ever heard a bad story about the industry trends. It sounds like it continues to move from strength to strength.
Yeah, it's interesting. Cyclone Debbie kind of derailed the macadamia industry a little bit last year, but it's back on track with growers delivering a record crop of nearly 53,000 tonnes of what's known as nut in shell for 2018. So that's at a 10% moisture, and the 52,900 tonne figure this year is an increase on the previous record, 2016, which was 52,000 tonnes. So the Australian Macadamia Society's Joylyn Bennett says every region from Nambucca to Mackay performed well, but that the final figure has been above industry expectations.
Well, this crop comes at a really good time. We've had 6 years now of year-on-year price increases. And again, in agriculture, that's a fairly rare occurrence and is a really good indication of just how strong global demand for macadamias is and how well the world recognises what a great product it is.
I hope we haven't cursed the macadamia industry there, Nikolai. Thanks very much for that.
Knocking on wood. Thanks very much, Clint.
Cheers.